these Westerners, they don't know how to take care of older people, huh? That's why the Westerners come here, because the Thais know how to take care of older people. The old Westerners come here, you know, and the Thais take very good care. Yeah? They have this, you know, it's in their family trait, yeah, or in their genes, you know, yeah? To respect the family, to respect older people. We just put our parents, you know, when they get older, into old homes, you know, senior homes, you know, and then visit them once a year. Yeah? That's how we take care of our parents, yeah. Our parents that gave birth, you know, and looked after us, you know, for 20 years, yeah. Everything, you know. They wiped our ass, you know. I mean, they wiped our mouth when the food came out, you know. Huh? And they, you know, they spent their whole life, you know, I mean, working for us, yeah. They worked, you know, so that we can have clothes, you know, we can go to school, yeah. And what is our gratitude, yeah? When they get out, okay, let's get rid of them. They are, you know, they are a burden, yeah? And we don't remember for 20 years we were the burden of our parents, yeah? But that's what the West teaches, you know? They don't take care. Yeah, it used to be differently, you know, 200 years ago when there was the big families, yeah? So let's find some peace and peacefulness, you know, and stillness, you know, in our practice, yeah? Practicing samadhi, yeah? being with the breath around the tip of our nose, you know, knowing the breath goes in, knowing that the breath goes out. This kind of knowingness is called sati. Knowing what is going on in our heart, knowing what is going on in our body, this is the sati, and the concentration that we put into. Yeah, we put onto one point, yeah? Be it, you know, around the tip of the nose or on the breath, you know, to feel the breath, or be it, you know, with the Buddha. That is our point of concentration, and sati is the knowingness what goes on along the point of our concentration. Knowing the breath goes in, knowing that the breath is deep, knowing that the breath is shallow, yeah? And so on, yeah? Knowing the breath is at the beginning, or the breath is, you know, at the middle, or the breath is at the end. Now the in-breath changes to the out-breath, or the out-breath changes to the in-breath. Knowing every step of it, yeah? And that is called sati, the knowingness. Huh? We need to develop this knowingness, not only the calm, yeah? I mean, most people, you know, when they start meditation, I mean, they concentrate on the breath until they become calm, and then they stay with the calm. But that is not our intention. You know, our intention is to develop the sati through the practice of samadhi. Yeah? I mean, it's a nice side effect when we become calm or when we become happy. Yeah? That is a nice side effect, but, you know, it's not our principal work. Our principal work, you know, I often call it, you know, digging a hole. Yeah? And as long as we dig the hole gets deeper. And the deeper the hole is, the more stillness and peacefulness is there. Yeah? We don't see in the end, we don't even see the world anymore. The world completely disappears from our awareness, yeah? From our knowingness. Yeah? So is it, you know, so is it with samadhi. In the beginning, you know, I mean, the things, you know, disappear a little bit in the distance, you know, and they go more and more distant, yeah? But there are no more thoughts and no more memories. And when we come out of samadhi, I mean, we feel refreshed. Yeah, just like we recharge the batteries, yeah? If you go deeper and stay with the Buddha or stay with the breath, you know, until, you know, the breath really stops, not that the breath disappears, the breath really stops, and then we jump into the knowingness that knows that the breath has stopped, yeah? I mean, then we can go even, you know, go even into the first wonder of meditation, where everything disappears, where the whole universe disappears or collapses, yeah? That is called apana samadhi, or deep state of samadhi, or preview of nibbana, whatever you want to call it, yeah? And when you come out of this, you know, I mean, you feel extremely recharged, you know, just like, you know, you put your fingers into an AC outlet. Whoops, yeah, completely, yeah. And probably the first thought is, you know, how do I get back? Because it's absolutely, you know, it's not only that peaceful or stillness, no, it is absolute, yeah. There's nothing, you know, there's nothing, no, there are no kilesas, you know, when you're in samadhi, you know, I mean, sometimes you see, you know, the kilesas in the distance, how they want to pull you out with this kind of, yeah, once in a while a thought comes, you know, pull you out with this, or with this feeling, or with that, yeah, but, you know, when you're into a deep state of samadhi, there's nothing pulling you out, yeah. Because nothing, you know, nothing that is anicca, anatta, dukkha, you know, exists in this. Yeah? That's why it's called also the preview of nibbana. Yeah? It's just pure knowingness that doesn't have any objects. Yeah? It is one-pointedness. Huh? Before, when we go into samadhi, it is two-pointedness. You know, it's duality. Yeah? I mean, that is the world that we live in. That's why we can describe samadhi, yeah? But we cannot describe one-pointedness, because we don't have any words for it, you know, I mean, it doesn't exist, yeah. I feel this, you know, I mean, that is duality. When we are within the knowingness, if that doesn't know any object, you know, how do we express it? We can only say, you know, the pure knowingness, that's it, yeah. I didn't sleep, yeah. I mean, when we come out, we know we didn't sleep, you know, but we don't know, you know, what happened, yeah. We can stay there for an hour, we can stay there for a whole day, or, you know, for even more than one day. And the longer we can stay, I mean, the more we are recharged and the more we are focused when we come out. And then we can investigate our life, yeah? We can investigate the body. Or we can investigate, I mean, why are we born, you know, what is the purpose of our life, yeah? When we are born, you know, we have to learn to walk, we have to learn to talk, we have to learn to read and write, you know, and we have to learn to think. What is the use of all this? Yeah, just to get a job, yeah? And what are we doing with a job, you know? I mean, we're looking after our body, yeah? And then, you know, I mean, once we get retired, you know, I mean, we're waiting for the death to come, yeah? We worked all our life for this body, you know, and then the body dies. I mean, what kind of gratitude the body is, yeah? I mean, we put everything into this body, yeah? Try to keep it healthy, yeah? I mean, trying to live a healthy life, you know, but the body still dies. Look at all what is, you know, the healthy life, you know, concept of the Westerners. Yeah, you have to train the body, you have to take this kind of food, you have to eat this kind. But in the end, they still all die. So whatever, it is useless. Yeah? We are born to die. Yeah? The important thing in our life is, you know, what are we going to do with this life? Are we going to find, yeah? Are we going to find a way out or not, yeah? Find a way out of the hamster wheel or samsara or whatever you call it. Sometimes I call it roller coaster, going up and then going down, yeah? Up and down, yeah? Or being born and then die, yeah? When we die, you know, I mean, if we led a very good life, we might go up to heaven, yeah? But once our merit runs out, you know, I mean, we go down to hell, you know, to receive the bad things that we've done, the bad karma. And then we come back as a ghost, you know, or come back as a human being, yeah. Most of the people, you know, I mean, they're just, you know, are born as a human being. When they die, they go to hell. Once they come out of hell, they become a ghost, you know, before they become a human being. Then they do enough, you know, bad things, you know, to go back to hell. Yeah? I mean, look at the world, you know. I mean, it's in shambles, yeah. Look how cruel this world is, yeah. how mischievous, yeah. They steal, they rob, they kill, you know, it's all against the precepts, yeah? I mean, the five precepts is very clear, yeah? Not to harm any living being, yeah? So, killing other people or harming other people, you know, it's breaking the precepts, you know, that needs to go to hell to receive, you know, to receive the, yeah, can call it punishment for it, you know? and not to take what is not given, you know. I mean, look at the world, yeah. And then kamisumicchaca, sexual misconduct. I mean, the world is full of sexual misconduct, yeah. No lies, no harsh speech, yeah. World is full, you know. I mean, look around you, you know, wherever you go, especially in the West, yeah. And then no alcohol, no drugs, you know. I mean, yeah. Why do the people take drugs, yeah? Why do they take, you know, alcohol? Yeah, because they can't bear the dukkha of this life. And that's why we investigate the dukkha, yeah? First, the dukkha of the body. Yeah, we look at the body, you know, the dukkha of the body. When we get up in the morning, we don't want to get up, you know. I mean, we want to sleep over, and yeah. That's the dukkha of the body. We are hungry, it's the dukkha of the body, yeah. We are thirsty, it's a dukkha of the body, yeah. We need to rush to the toilet, it's a dukkha of the body, and then we are tired, it's a dukkha of the body, yeah. It's not yet, you know, the dukkha of the heart. We don't like this, it's a dukkha of the heart. We don't like that, it's a dukkha of the heart. We want this, it's a dukkha of the heart. We want that, it's a dukkha of the heart. We want to become this, or we want to become that. We don't want to meet this person, or we want to meet that person, you know. It's all, you know, our life is full of dukkha. Yeah? So the best thing is, you know, I mean, listen to the Lord Buddha, you know, who gave us the Four Noble Truths, yeah. The truth of dukkha, you know. The reason, you know, I just explained the reason, tanha or desires, you know, tanha, the desire, wanting this, wanting that, not wanting this, not wanting that, wanting to become, not wanting to become, yeah. That is the reason for our dukkha. And that's the noble truth, is there is an end to the dukkha. And the fourth noble truth is the path that leads to the end of the dukkha. And that includes our five precepts. When we are in the monastery, it's the eight precepts. Yeah. And then the training of samadhi. Get the mind calm. Don't fall for the tricks of the kilesas who constantly want to draw you out. You know, I mean, where is this thought coming from? Why do I have this memory, you know? I mean, how can that be, you know? Or thinking about the past. No, the past we cannot, yeah. We can accept the path, you know, and we can say, okay, whatever I did in the past, you know, I will get the results of my bad karma or good karma from it, and now leave it alone, yeah. And we think about the future, what am I going to do tomorrow, or in 1 year, or in 2 years, or in one week, or in 2 months, you know, whatever. And the future has not come. We don't even know what is coming. We don't know if it is raining tomorrow or not, you know, if there's a storm or if there's a tornado takes our house away, yeah, we don't know. Huh? We don't know if we are hit by a car or if we're hit by lightning. We don't know. Yeah. So use the time, the present moment, you know, to do the utmost work, you know, to practice samadhi, you know, and once you come out of samadhi, investigate your life, yeah. Go back, you know, when you learn to walk, when you learn to talk, yeah, when you learn to read, and when you learn to write. Because if you don't find the way out, you have to do it again and again and again the moment you become a human being. That is so much fun, huh? Think about it. The way out, you know, I mean, reflect about this life, you know, and then we get older, yeah, some of us are old. So, I mean, the body frays, yeah, and, you know, we have to go to the doctor, you know, meant this and meant that, you know, take this medicine or take that medicine, or if it becomes worse, you know, I mean, we have to operate, you know, just like we operate on a car, yeah, I mean, replace this kind of machinery or part, you know, yeah? Just like in our body, some people you replace the heart, yeah, some people replace the kidneys, you know, other people, yeah. Sometimes when they get burned, they replace the skin and so on. I mean, it's, this body is nothing, you know, not much different from a car, yeah? I mean, the car is not us, yeah? We are the driver. And the citta is not the body, and the citta is the driver of the body. Remember this well, yeah? The citta is a vehicle that can lead us to our goal of the end of dukkha. And that's what we are using for it. That's why we come to the monastery. Yeah? We want to find the way out of dukkha. But we have to investigate the attachment to this body. Because we are attached to this body, we think we are the body. Yeah? So we first have to get this wrong view, you know, we have to delete this or we erase this wrong view that we are the body. The body is the body and the chitta is the chitta. Just like the driver of a car is the driver of a car, but he is not the car. The problem for us is, you know, we are born in the car, you know, we die in the car and never get out of the car, so we believe we are the car. It's the same thing with the body. We are born in the body, we die in the body, so we believe we are the body. That's why a lot of people are afraid, you know, I mean, that when they die, yeah? I mean, it's a body that dies, it's just like the car, you know, I mean, it's taken to the scrapyard, yeah? That's it, yeah? And then, you know, what do? I mean, probably every one of us had a car, you know? The moment it goes to the scrapyard, we look for the next car. Huh? When this body dies, you know, we look for the next body. Yeah? And depending on our fortune, depending on our good karma or bad karma, we get a good car or nice car or not such a nice car. Yeah? We might go up to heaven or we might go down to hell, you know. And that's it, yeah. And then we come back again, do the same thing over and over and over again. Yeah? Well, just like a hamster in a hamster wheel, running and running and not going anywhere. Huh? You're stuck in the samsara, I mean, for eons, yeah? Not only for one eon or 100 eon, yeah? We are stuck in there for such a long time. Yeah? But we don't realize it. Because nobody normally tells us. Unless, you know, there's a Buddha coming us and telling us. I mean, this is not the ultimate goal. Yeah? The ultimate goal is, you know, get back, you know, to our, you know, true essence, you know, whatever you call it, yeah. Get back out of the samsara, get out of this game, you know, game that is called life, yeah. I remember there was a game, you know, I mean, was it before I ordained or, you know, I mean, was called Second Life, you know, where you could choose anything, you know, and the people got so engrossed of it that they don't even realize that their own life, you know, is this, yeah? It's like people, you know, get lost in these games, you know, in these video games, you know, they don't even realize what is reality anymore. Huh? Become more and more this game, you know, and go more and more into the delusion, yeah? And we are in this game that is called life, you know, but we can realize, you know, okay, you know, we can investigate, you know, we can investigate this body, you know, we can tear it apart and see, okay, this is a part of the body, that is a part of the body, but who sees this part of the body, yeah? When you take the head off, you know, I mean, you know, the eyes are in the head, you know, yeah, we still see this, you know, this part of the body and that part of the body, or we see the whole body, and then, you know, then we ask the questions, you know, what is happening when death occurs, yeah? And then we watch, you know, how death occurs, you know, because we have gone through death so many times, yeah? Or, you know, we take a nice scalpel, you know, and open up, you know, I mean, remove the skin from the body, yeah, and look what is inside, you know, and then remove the tissue, you know, then remove the muscles and the tendons, you know, and so on until, you know, until we come to the skeleton, yeah. So what is the body? Is the body the skeleton? Is it the lungs? Is it the organs? What is the body? And what are we attached to? It's just like we open the hood of our car, you know, and see all these cables and, you know, and pipes going through, you know, and the machinery, you know. The pumping, you know, I mean, it's not much different, you know, from my heart, yeah. I mean, the engine itself, yeah. It goes up and down, up and down, up and down, just like our heart. Up and down, up and down, up and down, and pumps, you know, pumps, you know, the blood through the body, yeah. And through the brain, yeah? That's it, yeah? The body is a body, you know, and the chitta is a chitta. The chitta knows it, that there's a body, yeah? The chitta also knows that there is a feeling, yeah? The feeling doesn't know it is a feeling, yeah? The thought doesn't know it's a thought, yeah? It's all anicca, yeah? Anatta, yeah? We can see it, we normally, you know, we label it. Okay, this is a thought, this is a memory, you know, this is a feeling, yeah? This is a good feeling, this is a, yeah, I want more of it, I want more of it, you know, instantly, you know, the moment we label it, you know, our attachment comes in. I want more of it, I don't like it, yeah. But if you just see it as it is, you know, there's a feeling, yeah, there's a body, yeah, there's memory, there's, you know, there's thought, you know, and that's it, yeah. They come and go and come and go, they are nitya. They arise and cease, yeah. And most of the things, we don't even ask them to come. They come on their own, huh? How can they be me or my or myself? If I have a bad thought, you know, I cannot erase it, yeah? The bad thought, you know, sticks with me. And the more I get angry about the bad thought, you know, the bad thought will stick with me. Yeah? The bad thought comes, you know, and goes, yeah? Or, you know, the opposite, a good thought comes, you know, a nice thought, oh, wonderful thought, you know, and we want to attach to it, yeah? But this thought also goes, comes and goes. We didn't invite these things. The same with the memory. We didn't invite these things. Yeah? They are nitya, anatta, and dukkha. Because the moment we attach to it, we want it or we don't want it, you know, I mean, they become dukkha. And if you don't attach it, you know, they are just anicca and anatta. Yeah? Whatever we can perceive, you know, I mean, think about it very clearly. Whatever we can perceive, yeah, cannot be us. Because who is the one who perceives it? Who is the one who knows about the breath? Who is the one who knows about a feeling? Who is the one who knows about, you know, a thought or memory? Who knows there is a thought? Yeah? They cannot be one and the same. Just like I and the person next to me is not one and the same. Yeah? We know that. There's always subject and object. Yeah? So I cannot be the thought. I cannot be the feeling. There's a feeling, yeah, and then I can observe it. Yeah? I can observe the anicca, yeah, or I can observe the dukkha, if I don't like it or if I like it. Yeah? This I can observe. Yeah? So these things are not me. The five khandhas, yeah, upa, vedana, sanya, sankhana, vinyana, yeah, are not me, not mine, and not myself. That's what the Lord Buddha teaches. Understand? Understand it? Yeah? Understood? Huh? So, use the time wisely, yeah? Practice, yeah? As much as you can, yeah? And don't get fooled by the kilesas who tell you this is like this, yeah? Or I'm not sitting correctly, or, you know, I mean, then, yeah, my meditation is not correct, yeah? No, don't listen to them. As long as you're with the Buddha, you're on the right track. As long as you're with the breath, you're on the right track. As long as you are with the object of investigation, you're on the right track. If you're not with it, if you're thinking about, yeah, the object of investigation, or if you think about, you know, the breath, you know, I mean, then you're off the track, yeah. How should the breath be, yeah? Huh? No, that is off the track. Observe how the breath is, yeah? Observe, you know, the object of investigation and then ask questions, yeah? What is the body? Yeah? When you put out all the 32 parts of the body, which part of the body is the body? If you assemble it differently, yeah? Disassemble it, you know, and then assemble it differently, you know, is it still a body? Yeah? Ask this question, you know, I mean, they lead to insight. Or ask, you know, I mean, who is, you know, I mean, when I die, you know, what is going into the next life? It's a karma that goes into the next life, yeah? The citta that is attached to the karma, yeah? Okay, understood? Are there any questions?
This person has been using the Buddha and not combined with the breath. They want to know if the Buddha alone, not combined with the breath, can lead to samadhi or jhana.
Yeah. Yes, the Buddha not combined, the Buddha alone or the breath alone can lead to samadhi. Yeah. Just like the Buddha combined with the breath, you know, can lead to the first stages of samadhi, and then, you know, I mean, you don't want, you know, you switch either or let go of the one thing, you know, that you're not so used to. For me, you know, when I do Buddha, you know, I mean, when I get concentrated, you know, I mean, automatically the breath turns up, you know, and the Buddha disappears, yeah. So and then I stay with the breath, yeah. So that is perfectly okay.
For this long one, I'll try to make it a bit shorter.
Yeah.
They've heard that doubt is a trick of the kalesas, but some doubts feel so compelling or reasonable, such as this person thinks that even the practice and its fruits are anicca. So he has the fear that he might lose his grip on meditation.
When he's reborn, huh?
And yeah, when he's reborn, especially.
I think he misunderstood something. I mean this kind of doubt, you know. I mean, yes, doubt if there's karma and if there's a result of karma. Yes, it's of course it is a trick of the kalesas. But we also know that karma, yeah. I mean, good karma will lead to good rebirth, and bad karma will lead to a bad rebirth. But the question that is asking is, do I have to do, you know, everything from new again, you know? So when I become a human being, I mean, all my memories are erased. No, that is not. No? It's not the case, yeah? When we are born in the body, and that's why, you know, I have five brothers and sisters, and everybody was a little bit different. Everybody was differently polled, yeah? So, that doesn't mean, you know, that shows us, you know, I mean, everybody, you know, who was born in this world has a sort of karma. And this karma is also, you know, I mean, what we have done in the previous life. So if we practice in the previous lives until our death, you know, I mean, it is automatically, you know, we will automatically try, if our karma is good enough, to get, you know, in the next life and continue our practice, yeah? And the practice that we, yeah, for instance, you know, if people have practiced samadhi, you know, all the jhanas in previous lives, yeah? The moment they practice samadhi, they get into the jhana in this life, because they have practiced it before. It is the same thing, you know, with a doctor, who, a good engineer or a bad engineer or not so good engineer. Yeah, I mean, if I've been an engineer, mechanical engineer for 7 lifetimes, I will be a top mechanical engineer, or I will be a top doctor. Yeah. Who just needs to look at the patient and sees exactly what is wrong. He doesn't need any books, yeah? Because he has trained it so much, yeah, that he knows it instantly. Yeah? Just like a mechanical or electrical engineer who has trained for 7 lifetimes, you know, being an electrical engineer, I mean, he instantly sees and understands what is going on. And that is the same with practice, yeah? I mean, if you have practiced a super, yeah, for instance, I have never practiced or hardly practiced a super in previous lives. That's why it's very difficult for me to practice it, yeah. But other people come and within a week, you know, I mean, they see the body floating in front of them and they can, you know, they can instantly rip it up, you know, in bits and pieces, yeah. I mean, it took me nearly a year, you know, to be able to actually see anything, yeah, before I could actually ask the questions, yeah. So, this, it's not getting lost, yeah? It's just like, you know, I mean, just like we learn a language, yeah? For instance, I learned French, you know, I could read books in French, I could speak French, yeah? I could even speak a little bit of Portuguese. Now I couldn't, yeah? But I know if I go to France for 3 months, you know, it will all come back. And that is the same thing when we go into a next life, you know, if we keep on tracking, you know. But the longer we, you know, the longer we stay away, the more time we need to go back, yeah. But it will come back, yeah. Things are not lost, yeah. Whatever we trained in, you know, no matter what kind of profession, be it a farmer or be it a technician, you know, be it a doctor, you know, or be it a meditator, yeah. Otherwise, nobody could ever become an arahant. The training of an arahant is at least 90 eons of lifetimes, yeah? The training of a Buddha is 180 years of lifetime. I mean, nobody would be able, you know, to find a way out if these things will be lost.
So, next one. There are certain jellyfishes that can live forever and never die unless they're killed and eaten. How does a being like this liberate itself?
I mean, they will die.
They will die.
Yeah.
They will be
I killed. Mean, there is no being.
Yeah.
If yeah, there's no being that doesn't die eventually. Yeah. But it takes, you know, I mean, people cannot, you know, I mean, the lifespan of a human being is relatively short. Yeah. Even, you know, we could even say, you know, a turtle, you know, who has a life, you know, 200 or 300 years ago, we can say it lives forever because we cannot really see the death of them. But they will eventually die.
Will be eaten.
Yeah, they will be getting the disease or will be eaten, you know. So, I mean, so, yeah. And then they come, yeah, I don't know what the jellyfish lives on, you know, if it lives on other animals, then, you know, it will become these animals, you know, until it goes down, you know, so far, you know, until it doesn't live off other animals or kills other animals. And then, you know, and then it slowly goes up. Back up. That's why the Lord Buddha said, you know, I mean, an animal, you know, I mean, to become a human being, it is like a turtle, you know, who every 100 years, you know, dives up in the ocean, and there's just one ring in the huge ocean of the whole world, you know, and if it puts its head through this ring, yeah, then it becomes a human being again. So, I mean, it takes eons of lifetime. Okay, so these are all the questions, or the last?
No, two. So it seems that a chitta finds an infant body. Can it ever happen that it enters a mature body?
No. Because a mature body is already, you know, occupied.
Does it make sense?
Yes. I mean, the moment, I mean, normally, right? Normally, I mean, a chitta reserves the body, you know, when it sees, you know, the body is in the womb, you know, 3 months, you know. It can reserve, you know, it can reserve this body, you know, that it is born into, if it has the karma, yeah. Some more advanced beings reserve, make a reservation, you know, make a reservation, okay, yeah. And then, you know, go on, you know, and then just before they are born, they go into this, yeah, embryo or whatever they call it, yeah. No, I mean, you cannot, unless you're piecing, you know, I'm piecing, you know, I mean, that means that an entity that drives out, you know, or tries to drive out or occupies the body of a mature being, yeah. But this normally doesn't last very long, you know.
So, last one. How to overcome the first fetter of doubt and uncertainty?
Just trust, you know, that there's heaven and hell. Just trust there's, you know, that there's karma and that there are results of karma. There's good karma and bad karma and there are results of good and bad karma. Trust it, you know, you don't have to believe it, but trust that these things exist, trust that heaven and hell exist, and that, you know, I mean, that we don't know, because, I mean, in the beginning we don't know. So I said, you know, I mean, yeah, probably it's true, yeah. I don't have to believe it, you know, I don't make it a belief, but I trust that, you know, what the Lord Buddha teaches is true, yeah. And the more you trust it, and the more you go the path, I mean, All the questions, all the doubt will be erased anyway. So. Good. Any other questions from the audience? So, okay, then we stop the talk, yeah? Stop the session, yeah? And go back to our practice. Breathing in, breathing out. Yeah? There's nothing else to do. Yeah? Observing the breathing in and observing the breathing out, and then, you know, investigation. Okay, chabla.